This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been 6 months since the shooting at the mall in Columbia on January 25th that took the lives of two mall employees, 21-year-old Brianna Benlolo and 25-year-old Tyler Johnson. The shooter, 19-year-old Darian Marcus Aguilar, shot and killed himself. A couple months later, it was discovered that Aguilar had been searching online for mental health resources about the same time he was acquiring a shotgun and ammunition. There are many county residents who don't follow Aguilar's path, but are in need of help with mental health issues. That led Howard County to look at its existing services in an effort to get more people into appropriate treatment. This month, Howard County introduced several initiatives to expand and coordinate mental health services for its residents. How can more treatment, better treatment, help to prevent mental health crises that have become all too common? With me in the studio to discuss the issue is Donna Wells, Executive Director of the Howard County Mental Health Authority. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Joining us by phone is Howard County Police Chief Bill McMahon. Chief McMahon, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And on the line from her office is Dr. Maura Rossman, Health Officer for the Howard County Health Department. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Donna Wells, I'm going to ask you to walk us through the initiatives that Howard County is taking. And along the way, I'm going to ask you, Chief McMahon and Dr. Rossman, how your departments will be involved. And why don't we walk through the initiatives on the county's fact sheet? The mobile crisis team, what is that, Donna?
Howard County has funded a mobile crisis team for the last 13 years. It's a partnership with the police, very close partnership with the police. Two mental health professionals respond with the police to different situations in the county. We've had one team historically, and this new funding that the county put up, and I'm partnering with some state funds that we're getting for crisis services, will allow us to create a full-time second team during the daytime hours. And that's been very much needed in the county.
Chief McMahon, I'm trying to kind of picture how this works. How is the team in place when it needs to be and where it needs to be?
So, you know, a lot of what police officers handle on a day-to-day basis, very little of it has to do with real crime. A lot of it has to do, though, with people dealing with various mental health issues and mental health struggles. And sometimes they manifest themselves in very dramatic ways, such as 6 months ago at the Columbia Mall, as you referenced in the opening. But, you know, most times people's struggles are much less violent, much less dramatic, but are still a source of concern for them, their families. And because the police department, in some ways, is one of the few social service agencies that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we often get those calls. So having a trained mental health professional with us, I mean, they are listening to our radio, they're going to calls with us, you know, having that level of expertise and that kind of network of referrals, you know, helps the police officers develop either kind of a short-term or eventually leading to a long-term solution so that we can reduce the number of times we're going to the same folks in our community. So it's been a great partnership.
One of the initiatives is an emergency room care coordinator. Briefly, what does that mean?
Okay. We call it an emergency department follow-up program. And basically, it's a model out of SAMHSA, which is a federal agency, a Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration agency. And they found that by having someone connect with the individual while they're in the inpatient department and then follow them out into the community, there's a much more likelihood that they'll get connected to services. For example, people get emergency petitioned, as you just heard the chief mention, but they may not meet the strict criteria to be involuntarily committed if they don't voluntarily choose to go. So a lot of these people don't get services at the hospital, and they're back out in the community, and they're not going to follow up with any of the referrals the hospital may give them because they don't think they have a problem to start with. So we're going to build this position in within our crisis system at Grassroots in the hopes that we can identify some of these hard-to-serve people and really quickly, more quickly get them into services. They do show up somewhere else in the system at a later point, and we can look back and see they've had 3 or 4 visits to the emergency department, but never been connected to community services.
Dr. Rossman, let me pull you in this, and maybe this is, maybe you're not the person I should be asking, but Donna Wells just mentioned some people don't think they have a problem. So even if there's an emergency care coordinator before they leave a hospital, are they really going to get into services?
Well, inherent in the diagnosis of behavioral health disorders, There is often a reluctance or an acknowledgement on the part of the individual, or perhaps even family and loved ones, to acknowledge that there really is a problem and that treatment will be helpful. Part of, I think, the problem, too, is we have to educate the community on what the issues are, on why people will engage or not engage in services, and adapt to ourselves and our services to getting folks into care, recognizing the myriad of behaviors. The programs that we'll be rolling out, too, is mental health first aid for the community, so that all of us, not just healthcare providers and mental health providers and our law enforcement, are knowledgeable about mental health issues, but the broader community.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Dr. Mara Rossman, health officer for the Howard County Health Department, and Donna Wells, executive director of the Howard County Mental Health Authority, and Howard County Police Chief Bill McMahon. We're talking about new mental health initiatives in Howard County. And Dr. Rossman just took us to that initiative that I had skipped over, which I think is a bit of a challenging concept the first time you heard it. I remember when I heard about 8 years ago. Mental health first aid. Briefly, tell us what that is.
It's really geared to the general public to provide enough basic information so they can identify what they're seeing, i.e. a psychotic disorder, or someone who's severely depressed, or someone who's manic depressive, bipolar disorder, and then hopefully encourage them or get them linked in some way to services by, you know, referring them or bringing somebody in like the mobile crisis team who can assess them, that kind of thing. So it's really a way to bring the broader issue to the broader community in the hopes that people can recognize these disorders earlier on and get people into treatment as an early intervention prevention.
And the Mental Health Association of Maryland actually prepares the teaching materials,
right.
I think. How long does a mental health first aid course take?
It's now down to 8 hours, which originally it was longer than that, 12 hours. So you had to make that commitment over 2 days usually. But now it's down to an 8-hour course. It's also expanded to provide certified trainers to work with adults and with youth.
And so who is it that you're hoping will take mental health first aid?
Well, I would hope that anyone who has lacks knowledge about it and may want more information about it, because I think most people don't realize 1 in 4 families are touched by these illnesses, and there's a lot of stigma that goes with it. So people tend to either deny it or not share information about a family member who may have one of these illnesses. So we're probably, I think what's really needed is a big publicity campaign, so to speak, to bring this word out so that people can take responsibility for learning some more information. What's very frustrating is when you have these shootings around the country and people come out after the fact and say, well, I knew something was wrong. He was acting very bizarre. He was doing these things, or she. And it's nice to have a means by which we can get information out to people so that hopefully that will not happen in the future, especially not in Howard County.
Another initiative on the list, Chief McMahon, is a police department position. Now, is this in addition to the mobile crisis team position we were talking about?
Yes. So right now we have a mental health authority employee embedded in our police department, working with our officers to do a number of things. Probably the most important thing they're doing is looking at those community members or those residents where police officers end up going to repeatedly for calls for service where there's a mental health issue. And I think in 1 year, the initial cut at it, they used 5 or 6 responses in a year's time as a threshold, and we found that we had 30 or 40 people that we had gone to that often. And so Simone, her job is to identify those, gather the information, what's going on with this particular individual, what services they're eligible for, and try to get them connected so that, you know, we can reduce the number of calls the police officers have to go to, but more importantly, get the person the help that they need.
And then the last initiative on the list is this task force of 31 people that's supposed to start meeting, I think, before October 1st and report by January. Donna Wells, what are they supposed to figure out?
Well, I think it's going to be a very broad task force, as I understand it, and people are being identified to participate in this as we speak. My agency funds folks who are in the public mental health system. That's the folks who have a serious disability and need a lot of support to remain in the community, and that maybe 25 years ago, a lot of those folks would have spent their lives in state facilities. Now they live in the community. But in Howard County, as in many jurisdictions, we have, you know, mental illnesses and does not depend on what your socioeconomic status is or education or anything. It strikes everyone. So we really need to cast a broader net in the county and look at some of the access issues across the board. There's a dearth of child psychiatrists. We have a lot of practitioners in the county who offer services, but they don't take private insurance or they don't take the public system insurance. So those are some of the issues I think this task force will look at. How can we expand access to services in a way that people can get help when they need it?
Dr. Rossman, is insurance a big part of this picture?
It's certainly access to care and paying for care is certainly, I think, a barrier. Many of the providers in Howard County will not accept commercial insurance, and so folks have to pay up front with their Visa card or checkbook, which, you know, may be difficult for many folks, depending on income and other things that they have to pay for.
This is Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Donna Wells, Executive Director of the Howard County Mental Health Authority, Howard County Police Chief Bill McMahon, and Dr. Maura Rossman, Health Officer of Howard County. We're talking about how Howard County is revising its mental health services. Chief McMahon, is there anything that the department has already changed since the shooting in January in how it approaches these things?
Sure. I think, you know, we talk about this task force and the new things that we're going to do. It's building on a very, very strong foundation. I think there are things going on in the mental health world in Howard County that have been taking place for years that served as a good foundation from which us to start. You know, in terms of the mall shooting, clearly we critique every incident, particularly a major incident like that, on the kind of the police response side, but also on kind of the prevention side. I mean, the disturbing thing about this, and Dr. Rossman mentioned it earlier, I guess the biggest thing that I see in terms of, you know, my years of experience with this is the stigma that still attaches to mental health and the effect that has on people recognizing they need help or recognizing that family members may need help. We know in the mall shooting, for example, the shooter, he was researching some very, very disturbing images. I mean, he had a fascination with mass shootings, Columbine specifically, some very, very graphic, disturbing websites. But intermixed in those, he was also doing searches for mental health help. You know, he was kind of trying to self-diagnose. In fact, we know that he acknowledged that he had a mental health issue, but he was afraid. In his journal he wrote that he was afraid to tell his mom. And so we have to get people comfortable around this notion that people have mental health issues. Sometimes people need help. And so I think the more that we can do as a community to make sure people are willing to talk about this and we can break down barriers to access and we can make sure people know about the services available, the more apt we are not to have the dramatic outcomes like we had in January.
Donna Wells, since our society often doesn't, the broad society doesn't focus on mental health issues until there is a tragedy, like the shooting at the mall. Does that tend to make it hard for people to take a realistic look at their own mental health situation? I mean, does it encourage sort of an attitude of, well, I'm not that bad. Those people need help. I'm okay.
I don't know quite how to answer that. I think that it's the stigma that kind of prevents people from seeking help. And, you know, it's the most stigmatized disability group. If you think about anyone else with any other kind of disability, no one gets kind of put aside or seen as a pariah, as someone with a mental health issue. Unfortunately, the shootings that we've been experiencing around the country make the general public think that anyone with a mental illness could be violent. And the truth be told, they're more likely to be the victims of violence than perpetrate violence. But I do think trying to educate family members and individuals themselves about the need to seek treatment. It's a very treatable illness if identified early and given the right kind of resources. And I think that's what's very frustrating, is not having folks come forward. When I get involved, my agency gets involved, often when the police are involved, they're in crises. We're really trying to back it up a couple steps and get people into services long before they reach that crisis point.
Dr. Rossman, what is it that Howard County is going to be doing that you think will address stigma? What's going to be better?
The county executive has made a point of engaging the community in discussions around this issue that involves both mental health and behavioral health issues in general. And at the event of the signing of the executive order for the task force, as many of us went around the table, many of us acknowledged personal experience with mental health and behavioral health disorders among our loved ones and friends. And for me, that was the first time where there's a group of professionals acknowledging that, and I think that almost normalizes it. Donna said one in four families are dealing with mental health issues among their loved ones, that this affects everyone, and that there is no reason to be shameful or stigmatized. And the more that we begin to talk about it, just the way no one's going to think ill of me if I say someone in my family has high blood pressure, that to say, gosh, someone in my family is seeking treatment for depression or anxiety, that they can respond great and know that that person has an equal chance of a successful outcome as they would if they went to the doctor for their high blood pressure.
Chief McMahon, before I let you go, I note that you're retiring on June 30th, 30 years career in policing, eight of them heading the Howard County Police Department. You were praised for the way your department responded to the January shooting. What are you most proud of over the course of your career?
Wow. I'm proud of a lot of things. I'm proud of, you know, the reductions in crime Howard County has experienced over the last 10 years. We're at record lows. But I'm also proud that we have taken a broader approach in how we approach our community than just law enforcement, just crime. You know, that we sit down and talk to Donna and Dr. Rossman and get the support of the county executive and the county council on issues like this. Because, again, most of what police do may or may not have anything to do with real crime. It has to do with social issues and social disorders. So I really think our ability to reach out to the community and work on those broader problems is one of the things I'll look back as being very proud of. And I know that will continue with Major Gardner.
Well, I appreciate you all talking to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill McMahon, Chief of the Howard County Police, Donna Wells, Executive Director of the Howard County Mental Health Authority, and Dr. Maura Rossman, Health Officer for Howard County. We've got more information about the county's mental health initiatives on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview, too, and also a link to our 2008 interview about mental health first aid. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, nutritionist Monica Reinagle on the power of proteins. Stay with us on 88.1.